the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We'll go right to work. If you were to turn with me to John, the 6th chapter, 63rd verse. In the 63rd verse is Jesus talking. Jesus said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you," I need you to circle that word "you." "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Turn me to Mark, the 4th chapter. I've really, over the last 10 years, have been rereading the Bible from a different point of view, an apostolic point of view. So stuff I was reading before Apostle got called, I understood it to a certain degree, but after he got called to be an apostle, I think what an apostle does, structures heaven and earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened. So I think they were opened for me so I can see things that I hadn't seen before because of him accepting his calling. And so we look in this 4th chapter of the book of Mark. And this is the parable of the sower. And so I want you to notice in verse, let's look at verse 9. This is after he taught them, and he gave them the parable. And he said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You see that? Verse 10. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 said, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12." So it just wasn't the 12. It was the 12 and other people. All right. "Asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you," circle, "unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Verse 12, "That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be" what? "Converted, and their sins should be forgiven them." Then verse 13, Jesus asked a question. And he said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all, parables?" Jesus was asking this question because there was an expectation for them to know something that others didn't know. Not that they knew it, but Jesus was letting them know, there is an expectation I have of you. That when I speak parables, or I speak sometimes it seems in a strange way, I have an expectation that you will understand me. Now, so the question is, if Jesus has an expectation for me to understand parables, or understand what he's talking to me, if that's his expectation, then there must be something that I have to do on my part to prepare myself to be able to understand. And so Jesus, in that parable, in the first part of the parable, we're going to get to it, when he gave the parable the first time, he spoke it in a way that he wanted to position him. He confused them on purpose because he was trying to teach them a lesson. He confused. He talked that way on purpose because he wanted to teach them a lesson, or not so much teach them a lesson, but reveal to them who they really are. All right. Let's read it. Watch this. Let's read. Go back to the first verse. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parable. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony grounds where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell on thorns, among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good grounds and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. Then he went on to say, and he said unto them, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. This parable is about meditation. This parable is about meditation. That's why Jesus asked that question in the 13th verse. If you don't understand this, how are you going to understand the rest of the parables? They didn't understand none of them. But he was teaching them about the process of meditation. That's why he said some. Watch what he said. He said, and behold, there went out a sword of soul. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. He was not talking about four groups of people. He was talking about you in four different states. He's not talking about four group of people. He's talking about you in four different states, and you have to choose what state you're going to be in. All right, let's go. Watch this. Let's go further. Go to verse 14. Jesus, again, he's showing them the process of meditation. He gave them a parable. And in the midst of him giving them the parable, he began to explain or give illustrations. Once he finished, he said, now he that has ears to hear, let him hear. All right. So that means that there is something that is already on the inside of me that gives me the ability to hear. All right. Then he went on to say to them, you don't understand this parable? If you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any other parable. All right. And the question they asked him, watch this. The question that they asked Jesus about the parable, meaning they wanted to know more about the parable, is the very process of meditation. All right. He spoke to a large group of people. Most of them walked away confused. But there were a few that decided to stay longer. There was a few that decided to stay longer and ask more questions. That's when Jesus was able to reveal to them the process of meditation, because he was walking them right through it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, watch this. In verse 15. He said, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard it, when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's where a lot of people wind up. That's the first group of people that left.
Yeah, left.
They heard it, but didn't stay with it long enough. So because they didn't stay with it long enough, Satan was able to come. Now, this Jesus is revealing to us the oldest trick in the Bible, because this is the very first trick that Satan did. Because Adam and Eve had the word. They had instructions. But Satan came in and snatched it and replaced it with his word. So with one transaction, he was able to lock up all of Adam and Eve's, watch this, natural abilities. Other words, he locked up all their dominion because he was immediately able to come in and steal the word because they didn't spend time with God. And here's the crazy thing. God was coming to meet them in person.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. So that's one type of person. Second type of person. And these are they. This, let me say it like this. That's the first type of you. Here's the second type of you. And these are they, verse 16, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Notice that Jesus is breaking it down for them. And when you look at this from an apostolic point of view, you will see what Jesus is trying to accomplish. He said, and these are they which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. You see this? And have no root in themselves. Let's picture what that means. Because he used the word root, so that means it has to be dealing with planting.
Yes, sir.
So I don't know. The only thing I know that will pretty much grow overnight is weeds. That's the only thing I know. And weeds are a hassle.
Yes, sir.
But if you plant anything else, whatever it may be, it takes time. It takes time. You have to work with it.
Yeah.
You have to stay there with it.
Yes, sir.
You have to amend the saw.
Yes.
You have to amend the saw.
Yes, sir.
What I mean by amend the saw, you have to make adjustments to the saw. Some particular flowers, especially hydrangeas, if you plant hydrangeas, if you have acidic saw, it's going to come out one color. If you have alkaline saw, it's going to come out another color. So it depends on which color you want. You have to amend the saw.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
That means you have to spend time with it.
Yes, sir.
See, that's why, oh, Jesus. That's why emotional church has set the body of Christ back centuries. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And we'll come back to Mark 4. 1 Corinthians 2. We'll come back to Mark 4. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth. He said, in my speech and my preaching was not with, I need you to underline that, enticing words of man's wisdom. That simply means the Apostle Paul is not coming to tickle your soul. He's trying to reach past your soul. Apostle Paul said, I'm trying to reach past your soul and get into your spirit. I'm not worried about your emotions. I'm not concerned about how you feel because feelings are fickle. You can change feelings by the way you think. So if I can reach down into your spirit, which is supposed to be controlling your soul, then you can change your feelings.
Yes, sir.
He said, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power. Why? That your faith or your assignment or your instructions from God should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Other words, the Apostle Paul saying, I don't want your life to be governed by what I say.
Yes,
I want your life to be governed by what God is telling you when you talking to him.
Yes, sir. Yes,
yes. So therefore, go back to Mark 4. So what has happened to the church, and it's just not the modern church. For Jesus to put this, for Jesus to say this, that means this was happening in the synagogues. This was happening in the synagogues too. That men were using enticing words to show off their intellect and how much they knew about God. It doesn't matter how much time apostles spend with God for us. It doesn't matter. It benefits you. It benefits you just to jumpstart you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The amount of time you spend with God is what's gonna make the difference in your life.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So we see in the 16th verse of Mark, the fourth chapter. They were sown on stony ground. When they heard the word and immediately received it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, and after, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. So this is Jesus already telling me that persecution and affliction is going to arise.
Yes.
So he's telling us, look, persecution and affliction is going to arise, but you don't have to be moved. Thank you, Jesus. Go to Psalms, the first chapter.
Amen.
Psalms, the first chapter. Watch this. And we'll come back to the fourth chapter. Psalms, the first chapter. And watch this. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the result of him meditating day and night, he shall be like a tree. What?
Planted
by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Go back to Mark 4. This person, or this you, didn't meditate. What you did was you heard a good sermon, whether it be from an apostle or from anybody else, you heard a good sermon and was excited about it, and you knew it on the surface. So when affliction came, trouble comes, you're trying to do what Adam and Eve did. You say, what did Adam and Eve do? Adam and Eve tried to get the Logos to do for them what only the rhema could do.
Yes.
What I mean, them going to the tree is them trying to find out what God wanted to teach them through revelation. But they couldn't wait. They didn't have any patience. They didn't want to take no time. And so them eating off the tree, she was tricked, eating off the tree, thinking she was going to get information. He thinking he going to get information that God had for him the whole time, but they didn't want to wait on him. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So because they didn't want to wait on him, they were tricked and trying to make the Logos operate for them. When Logos is never designed to operate for you. Rhema is supposed to operate for you.
Yes, sir.
What I mean by rhema? God's voice. God talking to you. That's where your faith comes from.
Yes, sir.
Am I preaching Bible?
Yes, sir.
Ain't that what Romans 10:17 says, right?
Yes, sir.
Your faith comes from God talking to you. It doesn't come. Watch this. It is impossible for apostle to give each of you your assignment. It's impossible. So if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God or the rhema of God, that means I got to be spending time with God so God can talk to me. Are you seeing this? So if God ain't talking to me, I will be the type of person in verse 16. I will know the word. I never forget Apostle Keep. He talks about this. If you heard him, if you've been around him any length of time, you've heard him talk about how he visited a lady in the hospital, and he went to pray for her. And as he was praying, he was, you know, using the word of God, quoting scriptures. He would start the scripture. She would finish it. And she finished them and died.
Yeah.
So the question is, I thought she knew the word. Let's think about this. I thought she knew the word. Or when did affliction and persecution came, she became offended. Other words, didn't know what to do. So why is that? Because she herself didn't spend time with the Father so that roots can take place. Psalms said you'll be a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Now watch this. I'll never forget Pastor Skelton going home to be the Lord. Him and I was talking. And we were talking about another aspect of this scripture. He was giving me Psalms 1. And he said, I've never seen a tree go to its season. Think about what I just said. I've never seen a tree go to its season. But I've always seen a season come to the tree. Because the tree is rooted and grounded and can withstand anything. Do y'all know why when them hurricanes come, do y'all know why them pecan trees fall so quick? The roots are shallow. But you don't see that with an oak tree. Oak tree go down and grab the foundation. So that whatever comes, it can blow all it want. It ain't going to be shaking. It can weather the storm, because if it can weather the storm, the sun coming back out.
Yeah. That's good.
See, that's the difference between the first person and the second person. And watch this. We're going to get to the third type of you. Watch this. Because the hurdle that we have to cross in the body of Christ is we got to cross this hurdle of seeing the fivefold put on a pedestal that we designed. And the reason why they're on that pedestal that we designed, for two reasons, and it's both parties, it's the fivefold and us. The fivefold want to stay important under the pastoral model. We want to stay important in the eyes of the people. And then it's laziness on our part. Watch this. Let's keep reading. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This is the third type of you. All these, going from type one of you to type two to type three, is simple meditation. It's not rocket science. It's simple meditation. How much time you spend with God? Does God have honorable mention in your life? Does God have a set time in your life and no more? I talked to you this morning, God. I did my religious duty for the day. See, this is important because how are we going to build the body of Christ if we can't do ministry? That's Ephesians 4.
Yes, sir.
I got to mature so I can do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be built. And see, here's the thing. All right, watch this. The cares of the world. And cares of the world come in and choke it. In other words, you hear the word and you become so easily distracted. You become distracted by the stuff. You can become distracted about the world system. You become distracted about our political system. You become distracted by all sorts of things. And when you become distracted, that means you can't focus. When you can't focus on what God is saying, you can't hear him. There's a scripture I believe is in, it's Isaiah. No, it was, I think it was Elijah. So it was Kings. And it said that in that passage, it talked about there was fire, there was wind, there was all sorts of commotion, but the voice of God was a still, small voice that Elijah had to hear. In order for him to hear that, he had to be focused. Because there was a lot of commotion elsewhere. Yes. And listen to me. Satan will send commotion in your life for the specific reason to get you not to focus. And so you have to be able to have the mental capacity. You already have the spiritual capacity, but you got to have the mental capacity to be able to tune all that out and focus.
Yes, sir.
Now, if Jehoshaphat can do it in the Old Testament, then we ought to be able to do it on this side of the cross. Because they weren't dealing with grace, they were dealing with mercy. We're dealing with grace. We are empowered to do this. What I mean by Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat said, God, we got five armies that come against us. Is that not adversity? Is that not affliction? Is that not trouble? He said, Lord, we don't know what to do. Now, why would his eyes or his focus be on God? Because he know if God don't say nothing about this, we about to get destroyed. That's pressure. But yet, in the Old Testament, he was able to stand there. Now, here's the thing. Watch this. Why was Jehoshaphat able to do that? Because he had been spending time with the Father. So it didn't matter what pressure came. How do you think Jesus was able to die on the cross? He was spending time with the Father. By spending time with the Father, it positioned him. Jehoshaphat, it positioned him. See, if you in a situation and you ain't getting no clarity, you talking to the wrong people. God says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And God will give it to you liberally. And he won't change. See, the problem is, we've been accustomed to this drive-through society. You order. And then most people misunderstand suddenly. Suddenly don't mean God gonna do it on your time. Suddenly means that you have been where God has called you to be, and all of a sudden things change. Because for God to change something and you're not where you're supposed to be is validating your disobedience. Validating your disobedience. I ain't never got rewarded from my parents for not doing what I was supposed to be doing. I ain't never got rewarded for that. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Now, here's what I love about God. Look at this. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and what?
Receive it.
Now, receive it can't just mean you heard it. Receive it means you have had to spend time with it so it can do, watch this, so it can do what didn't happen in verse 17. Look at verse 17. What didn't happen in verse 17? Underline that, no root. No root. So this receiving has something to do with root, and we proved that it takes time for roots to develop. It takes time for roots to develop. Now watch this. And these are they which are sown in verse 20 on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring it forth fruit. Right? Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. That is based on maturity.
Yes.
That's based on maturity. So that means I can be a newborn again Christian, and if I spend time with God, I can produce 30-fold.
Yes.
What would that mean? I'm going to produce results.
Yes.
It might not be the same results as somebody who's been doing it for 20 years.
Yes, sir.
But I can produce results. So what am I saying? It doesn't matter where you at in your walk with God. If you decide to spend time with God, receive his word. See, apostle is jump-starting us. He plants the seed. It's up to us to cultivate it. He plants it. But what the pastoral model has had us to believe is that the fivefold plant the seed and then come work the ground. No, that ain't how it works. The fivefold plants the seed, you work the ground. That's your mind.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
He can't pour results into your brain. He can only plant it, and then which person are you going to be? Which person are you going to be? Are you going to be the person that hear it and the devil just come and get it immediately? I give you an example. I'm going to turn my back when I say this one, so I ain't looking at nobody. A prime example of hearing the word and the devil come and immediately take it away is when he started teaching on health.
Yep.
When he started teaching on health, it was like, I don't know about all that. Is that true what the apostle's saying? There got to be another way. So Satan comes in immediately and takes it away, and you don't have a chance to meditate it. Meditate it and let it become alive to you. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, that's what Jesus meant. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, You ain't gonna understand no other parable. If you don't understand the power of you meditating, meditating the word of God, meditating. See, here's the thing. Go to Joshua. Joshua, the first chapter. Meditating, what meditating the word of God, meditating it, thinking about it, praying in the Holy Spirit. See, we are designed to live a life. We're designed to live a life of revelation. What do I mean a life of revelation? It is revealed to us. And the reason why it is revealed to us is so that we won't mess it up. Think about that. I need my life revealed to me so that I don't get ahead of, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So it has to be revealed to me. That's why, that's what trust comes in at. Trust comes in because I may not understand all what God is causing me to do and telling me to do, but when I do it, I trust him because it will unfold. It will be a revelation. All right, let me, Joshua 1 first, because I want to show you something here. Look at let me read verse 1 to you. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Who spake unto Joshua? The Lord. Son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise, go over to this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto a land which I will do to them, even to the children of Israel. Right? Look at verse, let's see. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. You see that? Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That's God talking to him. Go to verse 8. God finna further explain verse 7. Because when he said, don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, he said, I don't want your focus to be on anything else. Watch what it says. It says, this book of the law. What? He said, very specific. This book. This book of the law. What book of the law? The book that Moses talked about. The book that Moses commanded him. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou, see, we in the pastoral model has extrapolated that to the whole Bible. Right. He said, this book of the law. Now watch this, very important. What book of the law? The law that Moses gave. Now I'm about to show you something. I'm about to show you a secret that Moses gave. Watch what he says. He says, "Then thou shall what? Meditate day and night, and thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." You see that? Go to chapter 6. Verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Then God in the third verse begins to tell him what to do. Is the third verse, do you think the third verse was in the law? No. This is an example of revelation knowledge.
Yes, sir.
This is an example of God. Notice what he told Joshua, this book of the law, the ball that came out of Moses' mouth. There is a reason why God connected us to apostle.
Yes,
yes, sir.
But once again, it is just a jump start.
Yes, sir.
Because he had, in order for him to even be able to see, he had to be meditating.
Yes, sir.
When he meditated, that means his mentality was changed. Not only was his mentality changed, but something was released in his spirit that couldn't be released only by him meditating what Moses said.
Right. Yes, sir.
Spending time with the agenda, spending time with what God told Moses to do. He said, I want you to focus on that. Because watch this, in that sixth verse, he wasn't able to see anything if he had not been meditating. If he had not been meditating, his mind would not have been conditioned. All right, watch this. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. See, you see the power of meditation. And not just, and I'm not talking about the world talking about what they talk about meditation. You just sitting there quietly and just to get your centeredness, as they say, to get your, no. You need to be meditating on what God is saying. Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's why. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, so that ye may be able to prove or recognize. See, because he meditated, he was able to recognize what to do. He was able to receive the instructions from God. Why? Because he was meditating. He had been spending time with God. See, apostle is just structuring heaven and earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be. Why are the portals of the supernatural can be open? The portals of the supernatural are not for you to reach your hand in and get what you want and then leave. The portals are open so you can be there.
Yes, sir.
The portals of the supernatural open so you can spend time with God. So you can be there with him just like apostle is there with him.
Amen.
So that you can get to a point to where you can see. Because watch this now. Joshua was able to see just like Moses would have saw if Moses would have been there.
Yes.
How did that happen? Because he meditated. When he meditated, he was able to harness the ability to see like Moses.
Yes.
You want the ability. See, this is why God put the fivefold in our lives properly, the fivefold properly structured, so that we can see God as they see God. So we can see the word of God as they see the word of God. So they can see society. So we can see society as they see society. See, it's not. So how are we going to do the work of the ministry if we don't see it like they see it? Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
See, I'm not even talking about your issues. Because if you can be able to see like apostle sees, you'll wipe all your problems out the way. But it's not based on what he's telling you. It's based on what God is telling you about what he said. Is this making sense? Apostle is just supposed to set us on a trail. You know what it's like? It's like teaching somebody how to ride a bike. When you teach somebody how to ride a bike, you take the training wheels off. And I never forget how he taught me how to ride a bike. He had the back of that seat, had his hands on the handlebars. He said, "You ready?" Watch this. We started off on concrete, but he pointed me to the grass. In other words, he was opening the portals of the supernatural so I could go in. Other words, he was creating an atmosphere that I can learn how to do this for myself.
Yes.
He didn't keep me on the concrete. By him praying, by him, he opened up. So he grabbed him. He said, "You ready?" He said, "No." And he was instructing me.
That's good.
He was instructing me, telling me, "You're gonna wobble a little bit, but you know, gain your balance, and then you got to start pedaling. If you don't start pedaling, you're gonna fall over." And he pulled the bike back and he pushed me and let me go. And I'm fell over the first time. He come back and got me. Put me back in the same position. Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
This is what's happening to us on a Sunday morning. This is what's happening to us tonight. We're being pushed, but you're gonna have to pedal. You're going to have to get your balance. You're going to have to get your footing.
Yes, good.
You're going to have to do this.
Yes, yes.
See, hey, if something happened during the week, I'm confused. That's why I come back to church on Sunday.
Yes.
So I can get more instruction.
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit can reveal to me what I need to change.
Yes, sir.
That's why I spend time with God before I come back to Sunday. So I can find out what I need to change. Once I understood how to ride the bike, I didn't need him to push me off no more.
Right.
I can start myself.
Yes, sir.
So by not being conformed to this world, meaning I'm not letting the cares of this world override my time I'm spending with God. I don't care what happens on the outside. All that matters is what's happening on the inside. Because if I can get it right on the inside, I can let the inside come to the outside and change everything around me. Joshua let what was on the inside of him come to the outside. It didn't matter what was on the outside. All that matters is what was going on the inside. If I can get on the inside, whatever's on the inside, God is going, because watch this. All the answers to current situations and future situations are already on the inside of you.
Already.
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 Already. If it wasn't, that means God made you incomplete. God makes nothing incomplete. That's why I don't be believing him talking about the earth gonna run out. God made the earth. Ain't nothing running out until I'm gone. When that sky crack open and God says I'm coming to get y'all, that's when stuff gonna start running out. But as long as I'm a child of his and I'm here, ain't nothing running out. He be telling you, be believing all them lies. All right, watch this. Psalms 4:46-10. I got to run through these. 4:46-10. Can you put it on the board for me? Psalms 4:46-10. I want you to write this in your notes. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." What it says? Be still. That's him telling you meditate. Isaiah 40:31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They that what?
Wait.
That's meditation. See, y'all thought it would just stand out of by and just wait for God to do something. That's talking about meditating. Because you see, upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Notice what it said. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." The Lord ain't renewing your strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes, sir.
So that means waiting can't mean I'm just standing by idly, just not doing nothing. That means I'm doing something to renew my strength. That means I am meditating what God is telling me or what God has said to me so that I can, so watch this, so I can renew my strength, I can fortify my roots.
Yes.
Isaiah 1:18. God is talking and said, come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord. Saith who?
The Lord.
Though your sins or your actions be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now I go to verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So the question is, what am I being willing and obedient to? What he told me in verse 18. See, if you read this scripture standing alone, you don't really know what to be obedient to. You're going to be up there trying to live the Ten Commandments. And thinking that's what willing and obedient is. No, that's just the base. That's the foundation. That's something you ought to be doing. But there are some other things that God has for you to do. That only can come from him. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. See, I really don't care. See, we've been hooped. Yeah, all right, thank you. We've been hooped at long enough.
Amen.
Hooping has caused us to be in the 17th verse of Mark 4. You receive the word with gladness and ain't got no root. So when persecution come, you ain't got your hoop. Do you know where hooping come from? Hooping came from a preacher that had asthma. I'm serious. And that's how he did it. And everybody thought it sounded good. So we as black folks incorporated it into our culture. I ain't got no problem with preaching. Jesus preached. But when Jesus preached, things happened.
Yeah, yeah.
When Jesus preached, that means he was preaching something that the people can go home with and make roots.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
Well, I told you 1 Corinthians 2.
Yes, sir.
Closing here. 1 Corinthians 2. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 2. Y'all notice, y'all, and the flesh love it.
Yeah.
Every time apostles tune it up, the church come alive. Listen. I understand, because when he get the hoop, I come alive. I mean, it is what it is. I like hearing it. I mean, but it's only surface.
Yeah.
It's only surface. Even if somebody hoop the word to you and preach solid word and they hooping and they rhyming, and you still got to go home and work with it. How many times have you been in church and you can't remember nothing? But we had good church. Satan loves it. Satan loves it. He don't mind that at all. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto, I need to circle that, unto who?
Us.
Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 tells you who he was talking to. He was talking to the church at Corinth. So there is an expectation for things to be revealed to you that nobody else can reveal to you.
Wow.
That's why Paul said in that fifth verse that your faith stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Yeah.
That you hear a word from God that will compel you to go and spend time with Him. Because there's some things in your life that you haven't seen, some things in your life that you haven't heard, some things in your life you haven't even dreamed about, but it is revealed unto us by His
Spirit.
It can't be revealed if you ain't waiting. If you ain't reasoning with Him. If you ain't allowing Him to massage your thoughts. Those things can't be revealed to you. Listen, your life, as Apostle keeps telling us, is a revealed life. And He can't reveal it to you. Apostle can't reveal your life to you. No man is supposed to reveal your life to you. All man can do is confirm what God has already talked to you about.
Yes, sir.
You don't let nobody just prophesy in your life something new and you ain't never heard it before. Because
right.
that means now that person got control over your life.
Right.
The Bible says, God told Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. God said, I've already talked to her. All Elijah did was bring her back to God's original plan because she was trying to renege. So all he did was brought her back to what God had already told her. God, one point is, God wants to talk to you. Meditation puts you in the frame of mind that God can talk to you. When you meditate His word, meditate on what Apostle is saying. It puts you in a frame of mind that God can talk to you. It puts you in a frame of mind that God can reveal to you things that nobody else can reveal to you. He can reveal information to you. He can reveal instruction to you that can't come from nowhere else. And see, the pastoral model of the church been waiting for on Sundays and Wednesdays or whenever they have midweek Bible study or waiting for revival or waiting for this for God to speak to them. No, God wants to talk to you every day.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, last scripture, 1 Corinthians 14. Turn there quick. 1 Corinthians 14. Meditation also includes you praying in the Spirit. Watch this. 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the what?
Spirit.
Who is speaking the mysteries? Who is he? Circle that he in your Bible. And if you can't write your Bible, throw it away and get another one. Circle he, put a dash and say me. So you, when you're praying in the Spirit, what you're actually doing is you're speaking out God's plans for your life in the earth realm. A principle. Nothing can happen in the earth realm until it's first spoken. God designed the earth off that principle. So what God say, there's some things that I want you to do, but you ain't going to be bold enough to say it in English, so I'm going to put it in a language you don't understand and reveal it to you when you're ready. That's all praying in the Spirit. That's why. Why you think Jude 20 says building up yourself, but praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, that's you speaking out your future. So if you ain't praying in the Holy Ghost, because it can't happen in the earth realm until it's first. So watch this. Praying in the Holy Ghost is an enhancement to meditation. Because you meditate in the Word of God and you pray in the Holy Ghost, then God can reveal to you instructions for your life that you can't get no other way. That's why we have intercessory prayer. That's why we have prayer before service. Because it's trying to, Apostle is trying to get us in a habit of speaking out our future. And when you go home and you meditate, that's God wanting it to want to set an atmosphere for it to be able to be revealed to you. Lift your hand if you need to.